Joining us now is a guy that is all about integrity and standing up for what you believe in, Congressman Jim Jordan, who has been face-to-face a lot with the president on a different issue, and that's health care of late. Congressman, welcome back.
Good to be with you, Brian.
So just when you think you have a handle on what the show is going to be like and what we're going to be talking about, this happens. Yeah. What's the buzz in Washington?
Well, I mean, I take what the White House said. Had people lost confidence in James Comey? Of course. We all did. You know, last July, Republicans didn't like what Comey concluded and said then. And then in October, Democrats didn't like what he said. My approach was I thought he was wrong both times and had messed that investigation up completely. And in fact, if you have the premier law enforcement investigative agency where there is not confidence in the director from the rank and file, that's a big problem.
Have you heard anything, even in circles in the cafeteria at the Starbucks, about something that disturbed you? You don't go to Starbucks. You go to Dunkin' Donuts. Something that disturbed you about a connection, a Trump connection to Russia?
No. I mean, look, my attitude is let the intelligence committees do their investigation. If at some point it is warranted to have a more investigation from the Judiciary Committee or the Oversight Committee, which I happen to sit on, or some special select committee, then I'm open to that idea if at the time it's warranted. But let's let the intelligence committees do their work, and let's investigate the whole thing. Let's investigate what may or may not have happened in the context of Russian involvement in the election process. But let's also look at the leaked documents. How did names get unmasked and that information wind up in the Washington Post? That's critically important as well. So if we're going to do it, let's do it all. Let's let those intel committees do their work first. And then if something else is warranted, I'm open to that. No one's ever accused me of going easy on my own party. So I'll be open to that if in fact that's where the facts point is.
I agree with you. You aren't. But here is an example of somebody who is giving the Republicans a hard time. Here is CNN legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin, Cut 36.
This is not normal. We do not fire FBI directors when they are closing in on the White House. This is not something that has happened before in American history, with the possible exception of October 20th, 1973, when Richard Nixon fired Archibald.
So what are your reaction?
Well, we don't know if they're closing in on the White House. That's what this individual had to say. What we do know is, 3 days before the subject of the investigation is interviewed by the FBI, the subject of the investigation's husband meets with the attorney general. We know that happened last July, right? Bill Clinton met 3 days before Hillary Clinton is interviewed by the FBI. He met with then Attorney General Lynch. We know that the only time this has ever happened where the attorney general says, I'm not going to be the ultimate decision maker. I'm going to farm that duty out to James Comey, and he goes out and does his press conference in July and says, we're not going to prosecute. We know that James Comey didn't convene a grand jury, which everyone else said should have happened. And we know, I've seen the immunity agreements. I still remember the moment, Brian, when I'm sitting and you had to view them in camera. The FBI comes over and they show us the immunity agreements they gave. We had no idea who they gave them to. I open up the folder and I look down and I see Cheryl Mills got an immunity deal. Heather Samuelson got an immunity deal. Are you kidding? Literally, my jaw dropped open. I looked at the FBI. I'm like, are you gave an immunity deal to Cheryl Mills? And then we find out how that arrangement worked out. All those things happen, and you wonder, and you ask the question, have people lost confidence in the way the FBI conducted that investigation? Of course, you have to be crazy not to have lost confidence in the way that whole investigation was handled last year.
Yeah, in fact, here's how Democrats have attacked Comey in the past. Cut 17.
We're all disturbed, first of all, by the letter, which really broke precedent, was over the advice of the leaders in the Justice Department. I'm not challenging Mr. Comey's motivation, but I do think it was unwarranted. It was a mistake.
He's got a big burden of proof, so to speak, on him for why he did what seems to be such an appalling act that goes against the tradition of prosecutors at every level of government. It was, when I heard about it, I found it hard to believe that Comey, who I thought had some degree of integrity, would do this.
I think he made a mistake on this,
yep.
And he clearly has a double standard. And these jobs, if you're not in it for a while, you can't take the heat. And I think he just couldn't take the heat from the Republicans.
And then you have Harry Reid convinced that he should resign. So
yeah, that was all in regard to his letter 11 days before the election. And you know what's interesting, Brian? I actually was critical of Comey for doing that then as well. I mean, and I remember I did this on your show, on your radio show back 11 days before the election, you asked about that, and I said, he probably shouldn't have done it then either. And I took a little heat from some folks for saying that. But my point was, I think that the director was wrong in July. I thought he was wrong in October. I thought he mishandled the entire investigation from some of the things I've talked about already, the immunity agreements he gave to certain people and everything else. I thought he was wrong all along. And if, as I said before, if that doesn't cause people to lose confidence in his leadership, and probably most importantly, some of the good people, I mean, all those good people who work at the FBI, cause them to lose confidence, I don't know what does. And I think that was primarily what drove this. The timing, you can you know, say the timing may have been, interesting, but I do think it's all about lack of confidence in the leadership at the FBI.
Though, lastly, what bothers me a little bit is the fact that there's reports on Politico and some other sites and Wall Street Journal that the president kind of did this on his own, off the attorney general and a deputy attorney general giving him this letters, that the people weren't read in and there was no communication team ready to define what the president's thinking was. So last night, It was people running wild with these black helicopter theories about how he's like Richard Nixon. And there's no communication offense for people to defend or attack.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm not part of the White House communications operation. What I do know is what I saw from the FBI questions we had asked. I know the time that we had Loretta Lynch under oath and from the Judiciary Committee, and I asked her point blank, have you ever in the past, any time in your career, have you ever said, I am going to let someone else make the decision and what they decide I'm going to follow? Has that ever happened before? And she says, no, this is the first and only time. And I said, by definition, then, you treated the case of Secretary Clinton different, and that is not supposed to be how it works in this great country. It's supposed to be equal treatment under the law. And whether you're the major party's nominee for president, former senator, former first lady, should not change the facts. You should get treated the same way any of the constituents I get to represent in the 4th District of Ohio are going to be treated. And Americans were questioning that, and part of the reason they were questioning that fundamental fact about America is the way Director Comey handled that investigation. And again, points back to this simple lack of confidence in the way things were being done at the highest level at the FBI.
All right. I want to talk a little bit about health care and what the Senate's dealing with. Here's what Senator Joe Manchin said a couple of days ago on Face the Nation.
I just want to work and sit down and try to get something done, but no one's asked us. I understand that we have 13 Republican senators working on revamping the bill. Our congressional delegation says, don't worry, the Senate will fix it. And no one's asked any Democrat. And I'm the most centrist Democrat, willing to work and fix things if people really want to do it. But I can't do it with a threat of shutdown, repeal, throw it out.
So, Senator Joe Manchin, you think he's being sincere? I know it's a different body, and I don't even know if you guys know each other.
Yeah, I do. And look, if he's my attitude has always been, I'll work with anybody if I think it's consistent with what I told the American people I was going to do, what I told the voters in the 4th District of Ohio I was going to do, and what they elected me and sent me there to accomplish. So I used to work with Dennis Kucinich, for goodness sake. Dennis and I are friends, and we're about as far apart as you can be. But there were times, particularly on civil liberty issues, where we were able to work together. So the objective should be to accomplish the goal that you were sent there to accomplish and to do what the election was about. And if that should be the goal, and you should be able to do that working with whomever. So if Senator Manchin wants to work with him, God bless him. You know, he's from West Virginia, a state that went pretty hard for President Trump, and largely driven by the coal issue. So if he can help them, great.
But have you ever reached out? Have you reached out to a Democrat through this process? It was hard enough getting Republicans together. Did you see any feelers from Democrats? Did you personally reach out to any?
No, I mean, when you're talking about repealing parts of the signature Democrat domestic policy, what they would view as an accomplishment, what I would view as a problem. When you're talking about repealing part of that major law, they're just not going to help you because they believe in Obamacare and they wanted to keep it. So they weren't willing to help us on the House side. In fact, you saw that, I thought, poor performance where they were singing on the House floor. I thought, frankly, not the kind of decorum you want in a on the floor of the House, where some weighty issues in our nation's history have been debated and discussed and important pieces of legislation have been passed. And for that kind of, you know, conduct, I thought this was not the way things should work. So they weren't going to help us in the House. But if Senator Manchin wants to help with moving this bill in the right direction and fully repealing Obamacare, great. I don't know if that's what he wants to do or not, but we'll see.
When someone on the Senate side, like Senator Collins or Senator any of these Republican senators says, yeah, Senator Portman, we're going to rip this up and start all over again. What's your reaction knowing how hard you worked on this?
Yeah, I mean, look, I hope what they do is more fully repeal the legislation, Obamacare. You know, the bill we sent there was a good first step, and I think the best thing we could get out of the House. But we have more to do to get to full repeal, which is what the voters elected us to do. But this bill does get rid of all the tax increases in Obamacare. It does get rid of the mandate on the individuals, the mandate on employers, and allow states, this is something we conservatives fought hard for, allow states who get that waiver to get out from underneath those regulations, which we know are driving up premiums for middle class families in the individual market. So I hope the Senate builds on that and makes it even better, and not tear it up and start over, unless what they start over with actually moves in the direction I just described.
Because my show is stacked differently because of Comey, does it change the workload for what's going on in the Senate when it comes to health care and ultimately tax reform for both bodies? When people say this is slowing everything down, are they actually correct?
No, I mean, look, we can do investigative work and still pass the budget and start the tax reform legislation and process. I talked with our whip called me yesterday, and we were talking about a time frame on when we're going to do the budget and when tax reform is going to happen. I do think the tax reform happens this calendar year. Our American economy needs it to happen. And I think middle-class families want to keep more of their money to spend on their goals and their dreams. So let's reform the tax code, and let's do it in a way that allows families to keep more of their money and do it in a way that's conducive to economic growth. So we can do that and do the investigative role that Congress has. But as I said before, let the intelligence committees go first.
Right.
And if it's warranted, then let's get the oversight and judiciary committees involved. And if need be at some point, I'm open to a select committee if that's where the facts take us.
Wow. And lastly, would you be for Trey Gowdy becoming the new FBI director?
That's funny. We talked about someone's probably going to tweet that out yesterday. I'm for Trey's a good friend. He'll be great at whatever line of work he's in. I think he'd be great at that job, but I don't know that that's something that he wants to pursue. But if he did, I think he'd be great at it.
Great. And you'd miss a colleague, though, but you'd probably get to hang out in Washington or go to picnics or block parties. Congressman Jim Jordan, thanks so much.
Thanks, Brian. Take care.